Well, with a Thursday game last week, we've had plenty of time to get over that one. Had a good weekend. Started preparation for Rice and got some recruiting in also. So we had a very fine weekend. So we're anxious to get back working at football. Had a fairly good practice yesterday and ready to go.
Return to a sense of normalcy schedules, or something to
be
said for that?
A lot to be said for it, especially academically. You know, we went to class Thursday, and at least all the way through the morning classes, and then got them over and settled them down in the hotel after that. But you know, it's pretty tough. And then the next day, you got to get up and go to class. You know, like on Friday, our guys were in class and I had to do the same thing the week before against, you know, after Miami game. So it's been pretty tough. And then the weekend, you're practicing on Saturday and Sunday, and then we went Monday night. So, yes, I'm very happy to be back on the regular schedule.
You play them all on Thursday night, though,
wouldn't
you, if you kept winning them?
If we kept winning them, if I figured that was the reason we were winning, we would try to do something about that.
Secondary's played awfully well there in the first couple of weeks. You lose the ball
run,
obviously. But can you just talk about what they've done and how his injury is going to affect the overall
play back
there as you wonder,
Ross? Well, they have played well, and we expected them to play well. They were a good group last year who, you know, made a lot of big plays for us. And a lot of the things we do on defense are, you know, it's predicated on the fact that, you know, they can have give you pretty good coverage almost every play. Losing Dalron will certainly be a blow to that group. You know, he was sort of a specialist at the nickelback position and did a great job at it and had a knack for rushing the passer when we would blitz him, and also had a knack for getting underneath those underneath routes. The other night, beautiful interception. He read it the whole way, and I'm pretty sure he was hoping for the quarterback to throw it to his man because he was ready for it, and he stepped right in there and made a great interception. So we'll figure out a plan that we're going to use to try to replace him, and it'll probably be several different scenarios and maybe several different players playing that position.
Looks like Jerry's listed up there on the depth chart. Is that
that depth chart's old. Yeah, that's an old history. That was this morning.
Bobby, you didn't like after the game, you talked about up in the ante a little bit, the program and having responsibility. Now, talk to your guys about that. What exactly does that mean a little more?
Well, I did. You know, we've worked hard to try to get us a big win at home, and now that we've done it, you know, we've got to prove that, you know, that's what we've been preparing for. And if we have been preparing for it, we'll go out and practice this week, practice hard, and learn what Rice does offensively and defensively, and be ready to play when game time comes here Saturday. So, you know, you just can't, you know, hang your hat on one or two games here or there, or one performance, or one big win, or, you know, I thought it was two big wins. I thought Miami was a big win for us on the road, and I think it helped us win the South Carolina game. So, just got to keep it going.
And stakes need to be raised, though, for a program to kind of move forward, where all your guys do kind of play with that sense of urgency every week, or just
want you? Well, I think we've always played with a pretty good sense of urgency. You know, I think we now are playing good enough to, you know, to compete with everybody we play against. And, you know, I think that in itself is a charge to our players to say, hey, play as good as you can play. And if you do, you got a chance to win.
Well, if you talk a little bit about Chase Clemons.
He does a lot of good things for them. I tell you, he's fearless, and he can throw the ball extremely well, but he also runs the ball, you know, very well and makes a lot of plays with his legs. And he's a lot like Chris. They're not all scrambles. You know, they're design runs, and he does a good job of running their offense. And I guarantee you he's seen every kind of defensive formation that you could probably throw at him during his career there. So he's played a lot of good games for him.
Coach, what has impressed you the most about Jared Hawkins so far?
Well, you know, I expected Jared to have a good year. I thought, you know, I said earlier that I thought we'd be better at the running back position than we were last year, and Jared was just going to be a big part of it. Jared runs bigger than he looks, you know, but he's 195 pounds. I mean, he's a stout kid, but he doesn't look that way if you just look at him on the field. And it, I think he surprises a few people with his power, and he doesn't mind at all running between the tackles and bouncing off our tacklers, and he did a great job of that the other night.
Coach, did you feel like Jared has found a love with the extra carries?
Oh, yeah, he's in great shape. Even though he was in the preseason, had a little problem with some shin splints and didn't get to practice as much as he would like or we would have liked him to, the strain on his body didn't bother him. He's in great shape.
Coach, when Chris Ryan went down, it seemed like he got a pretty good reaction out of the fans. How do you think the player responded positively to his injury? And kind of talk about what he's been.
Well, I think we responded to his gestures. You know, we were a little bit upset. That was a pretty tough injury. And, you know, when you got your teammate down there, everybody's concerned about it. We were certainly glad to see him in great spirits when they took him off. But that was a tough, tough injury. And, you know, Chris Ronard is a tough guy. He's been on our program, in our program, and a lot of contributions on special teams. And he's just one of those guys who's always running around and always has a lot of enthusiasm, and it's kind of contagious, you know, to the other guys. So I definitely think, you know, it helped us out a little bit. And the next run, I don't know if, you know, you have to ask Jared, but the next run he bounced off about three of them and got in the end zone.
Looking at Chris's two performances this year, going into the third game, you see a big difference between what he's put on tape to show Rice to think about?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Chris, it seemed like he beat Miami with his legs and he threw the ball against, in the win over South Carolina. Do you think that those are good things to have, a lot of different things on tape for him to confuse the defense for?
Yeah, it is. It's the same problem we're having with Chase Clement. You know, how do you defend everything that they do? And I think Chris is presents a lot of problems to defenses because a lot of it is designed. Some of it is, you know, off the cuff. And then the passing attack, you know, if you can get some protection. I think Chris is a very fine passer. So he'll continue to get better. What I've been really pleased with is his demeanor and how he's run the offense, and his leadership ability, I think, is stepped up a tremendous amount, and that's just what you want out of a senior quarterback.
Bobby, just schematically, what does Rice do when they score up to 100 points in their two games this year? You mentioned what do they do up there?
Well, they have a stable of wide receivers that, you know, are used to being in that system where they catch a lot of balls and they see a lot of different coverages and they react to coverages, and they do a great job of that. But they run the football too. I mean, they make you, you know, stay honest. You just can't drop eight of them back there and play against the run. I mean, the pass, you gotta do both. And I think they have a tremendous amount of confidence right now in what they do, and they feel like they can score points in bunches and they can do it anytime they need to do it. So in the fourth quarter against Memphis, I think you saw that confidence just step up and say, hey, you know, we're going to get it done, and they got it done.
Coach, these are two of the smaller teams and smaller schools, I guess, in the FBS or whatever you refer to it. Can you just kind of talk about the similarity between the two of y'all from where you sit?
Well, we're smaller schools, but, you know, we got 85 scholarships just like everybody else. I've never bought into that small school, you know, thing. They're a good program. They're up and coming. Yeah, I think, they were in a bowl 2 years ago, and then last year we're not in a bowl. But, I think, Coach Bailiff has done a great job of getting his guys refocused, and they came out and played two good games. SMU, I mean, they just swamped them and then had a great victory at Memphis. And you know, it's tough to go on the road and get those kind when you're behind and come back and make a big win. I think that says a lot for their team and their confidence.
You said they went to a bowl 2 years ago. Before that, I think it had been 61. So, you know, maybe just to understand both of you all kind of in the same situation.
Sure. And, you know, Rice used to be in the Southwestern Conference and had to compete, you know, with those, the teams that Texas A&M and all those guys. And, you know, just like with Vanderbilt, it's tough to compete with those guys way back in when everybody had more scholarships. And now everybody has a little more even playing field, I think. And, you know, that's why you see so many upsets every week, and that's why you see so many teams that used to not win or are winning now. And it's just a whole lot different than 61 or 62, whenever they went to a bowl last time.
How much do you pay attention to the landscape when you watch Miami, you play Michigan, did you watch the expansion at all?
A little bit. I actually was working this past weekend, so I didn't get to see a whole lot. And saw a little bit. Yeah, I'm a fan. You know, it's fun to watch, especially after you won a game and you kind of relax that weekend. That's a whole lot more fun, to tell you the truth. But, you know, you look at it as a fan, but you also look at it as a coach. You know, what would you do if you were playing these guys? And, oh, my gosh, look at that. How would we defend that? What are we going to do? So, it's still fun.
Did you see what happened to Washington? Yes, I did. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's a tough rule. You know, I think that was a pretty obvious violation of the rule. If you want to say that rule is a bad rule, you know, we can debate that. But it's a rule, and they violated it. You know, we came close to violating it. And, you know, probably should have been called. I don't know. You know, that's the thing. I think you have to have very consistent enforcement of the rules by all the officials and all the conferences. Or, you know, it's hard to take away a situation like that that happened to Washington.
Did you address that with Vernon?
Yes, I did.
Bobby, should it be tempered? Is it like a penalty on the first man should be a penalty on the last minute, or if a play has a direct bearing? I know all plays have a direct bearing, but a game-tying situation any different from an earlier situation?
Under the rules, it's not. Like I said, I'm not opposed to talking about that rule and see if we can make it better and you know, have some clearer guidelines. But right now, the rule says you can't do that no matter what time of the game it is. And, you know, that's what happens. It happened to us. And the clear thing to me is, in our situation, we didn't violate the rule. You know, we had a guy, you know, celebrating with his teammates, and that's all he did right there. You know, when you throw the ball 25 feet up in the air, you know, that's a violation. So, but it takes a lot of, you know, it takes practice. You know, you got to get out there and practice. And, you know, sometimes they're feeling pretty good about it when they score in practice and they throw the ball. And then you got to get everybody up and say, hey, you know, you can't do that. You know, it's against the rules. It'll hurt our team. You know, we practice to win. So if we're going to do something in practice that we're not supposed to do in the game, you're practicing incorrectly.
What's your thoughts on how the offensive line is going to start?
Well, I hope we get better. I think we get better in the second half, especially in the South Carolina game. But I expect them to get better and better as we go along. And I've really been pleased with Thomas Welch. I think Thomas has blocked extremely well. I thought Riley Lauer had a very good game, and Ryan Custer had a very good game this past week. So, if we can continue to develop some depth,
and be able to, you know, if somebody gets dinged up, be able to put somebody in there and not miss any execution off of that, I would really be happy.
Have you had any surprise at the way those guys have sort of salted away the left your two games this year on the ground, fourth quarter when you need them to?
Well, I was, I don't know if I was surprised. I was very hopeful that we would be able to get a couple first downs, but that's pretty tough to do. You know, we started out on the 5-yard line, you know, with the first, you know, after the punt. And then one first down is pretty good, but then to get the second one, I'm sure glad we got it because I hadn't figured out exactly what I was going to do, whether I was going to punt or take a safety or what we were going to do. So when he went across that line, I went, whew. You know, and that's one decision I don't have to make. That's why I was so happy on the sideline.
Rice scored 15 in the final 1:15. You're playing a team that explosive or capable of doing that explosive. So really test guys mentally to stay with it through 60 minutes is really no easy.
Sure. They score them in a bunch. Of course, I think one of those was on a interception return, so hopefully we won't give them one of those. But, you know, they're very opportunistic and do a good job of, you know, mixing their offense and the defense and the scoring. And I think they got some big plays on their defense, by their defense against SMU, too.
Talk about Patrick Benoit's game the other night and just kind of in general how he was able to succeed.
Well, Patrick, you know, I think what he had 15 tackles or something like that. I think he was SEC linebacker of the week, and you know, it's a tough job, you know, against South Carolina, who does a good job of running the football and passing the football, and trying to get matchups that are tough. You know, he had a tough one. You know, he was having to hang on to Jared Cook, and you know, that's a big target to try to settle in on right there. So he kept battling and kept battling, got in and made some big plays for us. And Patrick is really smart, and he knows exactly, you know, what we're doing. He knows what checks to make. He knows what the other team is going to do most of the time, and that's why he is as effective as he is. He's a smart player.
Been satisfied with the way Marvin Stokes kind of stepped up in the starting role?
Sure. You know, that's a lot easier to say you're going to do that than getting in there and playing under the gun and, you know, being a starting linebacker in the SEC. And they both played very well, and I think they're getting better every game. Chris was kind of hesitant in the first part of the Miami game, and you could see him get better in the second half, and he played much better against South Carolina than he did against Miami.
Coach, all three are pretty instinctive and smart guys. All three work well together. One maybe younger, pretty experienced, savvy on the field.
Yeah, they're pretty savvy. You know, Patrick's had the advantage of playing a lot more. Yeah, but all three of them study it just like you want your linebackers to do. You want them to anticipate what's happening and be ready to direct things out there on the field, and they're doing a good job of that, even though they are young.
Coach, you got some pretty big plays on special teams Thursday night after the big time. I know you prefer to just talk about special teams play.
Well, that was one of our goals over the off season, to try to make our special teams better or more sound first, and then hopefully make some big plays. And the field goal block, you know, that was just an individual effort, I think, by Greg getting in there. But I think that pressure and the pressure we had coming from the outside hopefully put a little bit more pressure on Suckup on the next one that he missed. So there's always a benefit from blocking one. I think it scares him a little bit for the rest of them. And then, to tell you the truth, the play off of the punt was a fluke, and it hit the South Carolina player, but our guys were very alert and jumped on it. And, big play for us.
When you say that you wanted to try to improve special teams over all season, what did you do to try to get that done?
Well, we just examined each one of them. We sat down as a staff and we got the tape out, and we you know, looked at it. And we got some, I think, some pretty smart coaches. And when we get everybody in there and everybody gives their input on what we could do better, or, you know, what they've seen before, maybe at another school or another program, and come up with what we wanted to do with our players. You know, there are a thousand different ways to do just about any kind of thing in football, but how it fits with your players, I think our coaches do a good job of getting our players in the right situation so they can be successful.
Imagine going on the road to recruit this weekend. It's
been
a cool thing to have
you
mail
DRI as Adams.
Spend your time with the players
in there. Well, it was. I'll tell you one thing that I realized, even though I thought I knew it, but I realized it even more. A lot of people watch ESPN. And, you know, going through airports, you know, I was in the Dallas airport, and people were stopping us left and right. In Dallas and Shreveport and, you know, Nashville. So it was kind of cool. But it just goes to show you what exposure you get when you play Thursday night games, even though, you know, they're a little tougher to do. But, you know, something we got to be willing to do, and we're pleased with the opportunity to have that this year.
Nobody thought you were Steve
Martin. Not a soul. Not a soul.
One more question? Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.